The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, what's in my mind is to tell you two stories. And I think their stories have to do with having an absence of desires. Sometimes it's hard for us to appreciate the goodness, the value, the blessing of going through our parts of our day, moments in our day, the whole day, with a minimum number of desires. Chances are that for most people, they probably go through the day with more desires than they need. And it's just nicer not to have so many sometimes. Especially if the desires come with a lot of authority, they can be really oppressive. They can kind of be stressful to have. And to one of the functions of meditation is to have some qualitatively good experience of being alive, where the desires have been put to rest, where for that those few moments, they're not there. And then to experience that that's a possibility. More than a possibility, I like to call it a potential. So that's, it seems bigger or larger, call it a potential. That we have in us this wonderful potential to have the mind, the heart, be at rest in some deep way. It doesn't mean we're never going to have a desire again, but to know the goodness of just being without the desire. So these two stories, maybe kind of, one is from the ancient Buddhist tradition, where there was a very wealthy person. I mean, I think he was a merchant kind of person who became very wealthy. And at some point, he decided to leave it all behind and become a monastic. And he would, as a monastic, he was off in the woods meditating. He was living also in a monastic community, kind of in the forest. And at some point, the other monks would think about him and realize he had a life of luxury and wealth and food and all kinds of things. And they kind of assumed that he wasn't going to last as a monk, you know, because it's kind of rough to live in the woods and live on alms and have no one take care of you. And so one day, the other monks heard this formerly wealthy person exclaim very loudly, something like, said, "Happy, happy, so happy." And they looked at each other and they said, "Oh, you see, he's decided to go back to his life. He's decided that's where he's, you know, it's easy and stuff." So when he came out of his meditation, they asked him, "What happened there? And are you going back to your old life?" He said, No. When I had that old life, I had to have guards, I had to have locks, I had to constantly be concerned and worried about robbers and people wanting to take advantage of me, and it was like a stressful life. And now that I don't have anything, I can just live in the open here in the woods and not have to worry about thieves and people taking advantage of me. And I'm just so happy to have nothing and have this easy-go life. That's one story. The other story is of a man who's person who's upset and maybe depressed or discouraged, or, you know, life is hard and not getting what he wants and just a difficult life. You can fill in whatever difficulty you like. And been trying all kinds of things to find a way to be happy or to be something. Nothing seems to work. So they finally goes to a very wise woman and says, you know, probably she's deep in the woods and beautiful elder, and explains the predicament. And she said, "Okay, there's only one thing that's going to help you. You have to go and find the happiest person in all the land and ask that person for the person's shirt so you can wear it or something. Okay, well, that seems like a pretty easy thing to do. That's all it takes. So this person spends years asking you, who's the happiest person? And goes, finds that person, and that person, no, I'm not the happiest person. You met that person over the next mountain. And goes search for that person, and that finds that person. No, it's, not me. I'm not that happy. It's that person. So it goes on for a few years, search for the happiest person. And finally, everyone's pointing to one person that's like far away. Everyone's pointing in that direction. And so the person, okay, that's the person. I'm so lucky. And everyone's kind of consensus. This is the one. And goes and finds this man who's deep far in the mountain someplace. And it's just obvious. You can even kind of feel it before even getting in the person's presence. But especially in the presence, well, this is a really happy person. It's like, oh, I'm so lucky. I'll finally, be able to ask for the shirt. Looks at the person and says, actually, the person has no shirt. The person has almost no possessions. And that's the lesson. What does it take to be the happiest person? Not that you have to give all your possessions away and be shirtless, but this idea of desire and needing to fulfill our desires and get our desires met so that we can be happy. It becomes a conditional desire. It's desires with conditions. I have to get the best shirt. I'm sure that, probably the local department store has the shirt that'll... Since I evoke the idea of shirts now, I'm sure that you can fantasize and think about just the shirt that will do it for you. Or is the partner that's going to do it for you, or the job, or the, something that's going to do it for you. This is what's going to make me happy. And that's all conditional happiness. And conditional desire, that if I get this, then I'll be happy. And the problem with that is that sometimes it works. And then we're ready for the next desire. And I've been in situations where my desire was fulfilled, I got to do what I wanted to do, and then while I was doing it, I started thinking about the next desire, the next thing to do, the next thing that's going to do it. And not really kind of settling and just enjoying what I'm doing, because there's always more, something else. So what's the happiness that's possible that doesn't require desires, that doesn't require the fulfillment of desires? Is there such a thing? Or is that just ridiculous? Is that impossible? Like, the only desire that really counts is the one that fulfills what we want. But is there a possibility of desire, of happiness, that's from the lack of wanting, that comes from the mind being freed or settled or quieted from the desires that are there, the wanting that's there? And that's one of the things that meditation can teach us. One of the things we can learn from something like meditation is a little bit shocking for some people, is only through meditation do some people realize that their desiring is incessant. It just simply doesn't. That somehow almost every thought has some kind of desire built into it, wanting something. It's kind of exhausting. But meditation, where you get quiet enough, really quiet, to be able to see what you're thinking and have space between your thinking and not be caught in that web of thinking, we begin having a feeling, a sense of what it's like for the mind to be at ease, be contented, just in itself, without the need for any desire to be fulfilled. And that, in fact, having desires interferes with that ease and that peacefulness. And so then the person understands that that desires interfere, can interfere with a healthy state of mind. And so to discover this wonderful well-being and happiness that can be available, that comes from the absence of desire. So I offer this little talk intentionally with a desire to challenge you. To challenge you to reflect on the role of desires in your life, to see how subtle they operate. And to not to feel bad about having desires, please don't do that. But instead, can you look kind of behind them or under them or something, next to them, to see that there's another way of being alive. There is a way of being alive that's desirelessness, as desireless, that's without desire. And there's a vitality and vibrancy and a clarity, peace that can be found in that space where there's no desire, between your desires or after your desires or before your desires or behind the desires or something. So may you be challenged to take a second and third and fourth look at this whole area of desires in your life. Thank you. So I have one request for you in terms of, now we're going to do the cleaning period, 15 minutes. And one thing I'd like to ask is, when I walked down here today, there was some different kind of litter on the sidewalks and a little bit on our property, the gravel, and sometimes a little bit in the gutter too. And it's nice if we can keep our little domain of the world kind of litter free. Would someone like to be the litter gatherer? Fiona? Thank you. Fiona will do it. Thank you. And then Nena has the... Let's see. So we'll see. So we have four people to do the bathrooms. One, two, three, four. Great. And if you haven't done the bathroom before, Bonnie here knows how to do it. And then can we have four people to go outside? One, two, three, four.